celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
Welcome, my friend. Here is the toll-free number, 1-866-405-8405. On the other end of that phone, Judy, she's screening your calls for Dr. Debbie and dog father Joey Villani. Ladybug the studio stunt dog. Yes, she gets
more calls than the doctor gets.
Pretty sure about that. I think she actually uses this phone line as her own personal toll-free phone line. She's a smart dog.
I thought I'd seen her on the phone.
But anyway, 1-866-405-8405 to reach us here at Animal Radio. In just a few minutes, Doc Halligan is going to be on. She's going to tell you what to do with that cat poop.
What not to do with it.
What to do with it and what not to do with it. Yeah. She'll tell us what to do with it, too. Because, you know, a lot of people, they take that cat poop right out of the litter and they flush it down the toilet. Yeah, I know. I don't do that because it would plug up my toilets. But apparently there's more reasons why you shouldn't do that. I bet you could even guess. Well, yeah, it's the same reason that you shouldn't flush your narcotics down the toilet. You're poisoning a water supply. So, but she'll explain that in just a few minutes right here on Animal Radio. Also, we got this guy who's Dr. Stephen Katz. I shouldn't say guy. A very well-known doctor. He has a brand new treat. It's a cannabis-based treat for your animals, and I'm a little concerned.
It's actually a therapy. It's not just treats. It's therapeutic. There's things that it's supposed to be doing for their joints and for itching, and it's not just.
But I thought you shouldn't give pot to your animals.
I don't know. There's a lot of studies out. I'm not sure anymore.
Well, is he handing out samples?
Edibles?
Jeez. I'm just wondering. I'm just asking.
I understand, because anything that I feed my animals, I want to try first. I try first. You know I try every cat food and every dog food that my animals eat.
That's why your breath smells so bad. It smells fishy.
And sometimes venison-y.
Yeah.
Okay. We digress. And what are you working on over there in the newsroom, Miss Brooks?
Hey, we know why Ladybug is costing you guys money with her expensive habit of talking on the phone.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to tell you about a dog who went out to go potty and came back $1,000 richer.
Wow.
That never happens
to me. She's making money.
Okay, that's
I could go into the restroom all day.
Nothing happens. Well, you have to stick around to find out how that story ends right here on Animal Radio. Okay, are we ready to go to the phones? Let's do it. Well, hey, Robert.
Hey, hello.
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
How can we help you today? I got the entire dream team here.
Well, I just recently acquired a 6-month-old Great Dane puppy, and we took her in for her checkup, and everything looked good except for she was diagnosed with entropion in the left lower lid.
Okay.
And it was pretty, and I noticed there was a lot of drainage before I went in, so I had asked about it. He said, "Yeah, what happens is the little hairs are poking her in the eye and irritating the eye." He said you could tell it was very uncomfortable for her. Mm-hmm. And she had a lot of drainage, and she was always pawing at it and rubbing at it, and it looked like, you know, she had sucked the eyeball back into the socket. And he said, yeah, that dogs can do that, and they do that to protect the eye. Mm-hmm. So he said, you know, it looks like it's really bothering her. And he said, you know, we're going to spay her in 2 weeks. He said we could probably go ahead and fix the eyelid at that time. So then the guy that bred the dog asked if we could bring the puppy into his vet. So we did. And that vet said, oh, that dog's way too young to do the surgery, that I wouldn't recommend it at this point. She said there's ointments and, you know, tear stuff that you can put in it to keep the dog comfortable. But, you know, and then, of course, I'm getting a lot of opinions from a lot of different people. I went back to my vet and kind of voiced those concerns, and he said, I've done this on dogs that young many times. He said it's always worked. He said, but if you want to go out and get some other opinions, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But in his opinion, the dog would be fine. He's done it before and very successfully. He said, and then, of course, both of them indicated that some of the problems the dog might have if you don't fix it is, you know, scratching the cornea or irritating the cornea and ulcers and all kinds of other things that might come down the line. And my honest opinion, I just hate to see her living with this misery.
Sure. Doc, tell me what's going
on. There were some other procedures that they said you might want to try, like tacking or something of that nature.
Okay.
And I just really don't know what to do.
So let me bring Hal and everyone else into the loop of things. We're talking about entropion, E-N-T-R-O-P-I-O-N, entropion. So right. What it is basically it's a rolling in of the eyelid, which puts hairs, which are normally facing the outside of the body, and rubbing them up against the cornea, the clear part of the eye. And that causes pain because the cornea is not supposed to be touching things. And anyone who gets hair in their eye knows what that feels like. Or if you get a scratch on your contact lens, you know how painful it is. Mm. So that is something we don't want dogs to live with, and we do want to surgically repair. So the big question here, and I think the concern that this caller has is really what is the best timing for that? And it really depends on a couple factors. Ideally, if the pet is not having distress or active ulcers, we would prefer to wait till the majority of the pet's growth is done. And for a large breed dog, that would be maybe between 10 to 12 months of age. And the reason for that is that we don't want to have to set ourselves up to do two surgeries, because it is possible if we correct this now, we may either overcorrect it or undercorrect it. So we want to wait till that full head growth is over with, and that we know that we've got the eyelids we're going to be dealing with for the rest of her life. So that's the reason we would want to wait. The situations where I don't wait is when we actually have an active corneal ulcer, because that means that we've got a painful dog that has injury to the cornea, and unless we really make some moves to correct that, we're really setting ourselves up for problems. So the question is, in those situations, what do? We can actually do the corrective surgery where we repair the eyelid conformation and put sutures in, or there's what we call tacking. And tacking is historically done on young puppies, so just under a couple months of age, because it's a short-term temporary fix until those dogs can grow into their eyelids. And that's just kind of a temporary suture that's put in the, not in the eyelid sections, but more in the haired area. And those just kind of stay there, take away the irritation, the rubbing on the eye, and then we can get to a point where the pet's a little bit older and more grown. So, you know, I'd have to say you're kind of really in that zone there right now. If your pet is having a lot of discomfort where the eye is recessed, and that's what that means, that means that eye is in pain when they retract that globe into their eye. So if she's in a lot of discomfort or she's got an ulcer, you know what? You know, I would embrace repairing that at this point. But I think that's between you and your veterinarian that can look at her right now.
Yeah.
The purist that would say, you know, let's put it off until later. If everything's going well and we can keep your baby comfortable, that might be the ideal situation for things there.
Yeah, she does squint a lot and kind of keep it closed. You can kind of look at her, and she's got it mostly closed and squinting and rubbing at it. So you can tell she's in a fair amount of discomfort.
Yeah.
And that's my thing is I just hate to see her like that for any prolonged period of time.
Yeah. And that would be the thing is that, you know, if you repaired that right now, is knowing, you know, we might not correct it as much as we need to, or we might overcorrect it. And if you're okay with that right now, then I don't see a reason that you shouldn't have the surgery done. And making sure right now that we are doing things to help her out. We are giving her pain medication, like maybe tramadol for the corneal pain, that she is on a protective lubricant in the eye, or even an antibiotic if necessary. And if we're not doing those things, I would certainly do those before I'd make a decision on this.
Yeah, we've been using, like, they told us to get that, what is that, artificial tears and stuff to keep the eye nice and moist in the meantime. It's just, you know, so the only downside on that is we might have to go in and do a second procedure if it doesn't correct completely or overcorrected. We might have to go in and have a second procedure.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I don't see a downside to that other than the fact that it's going to cost a little more money, so.
Right, and nobody wants to have two surgeries. That would be the other thing. But, yeah, if you're more worried about addressing her comfort level and fixing it now, then I think she's close enough.
I prefer to get it before it starts causing a lot of damage to the cornea or anything like that.
Oh, absolutely. So. Well, you have your baby's best needs at heart, so that's admirable. And thank you for rescuing and saving a life.
So your suggestion would be if she's in a lot of discomfort, go ahead and have the procedure if you're not worried about having a second one down the road.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what I wanted to hear. She goes in to be spayed in 2 weeks, so I wanted to address this before we got in there.
Absolutely.
So I appreciate the help.
Thanks for your call, Robert. Toll free 1-866-405-8405. Yeah, if you need a second opinion, Dr. Debbie's here to give you a second opinion. And a third opinion. You should hear her. She has opinions all day long.
She's a very opinionated lady.
Well, this portion of Animal Radio is written in part by World's Best Cat Litter. May I suggest you ditch your giant boxes of cat litter and switch to the concentrated power of World's Best Cat Litter? It delivers big performance in a small little tiny package. I get mine over at Target, Walmart, and my local grocery store. Thanks, World's Best, for underwriting this portion of Animal Radio. Well, hello, Margie. How are you doing?
Well, I have a female Cavalier King Charles. She's 7 years old. And she went in and had a test that she had a urinary tract infection. Ooh. And then the doctor noticed that in the last 8 months, she had lost half her weight. She was 26 pounds 8 months ago, and she's 13 now.
And you didn't notice this?
My. Holy cow.
Well, yes, I did, because before that, the visit before, she was very heavy.
Okay.
So we put a mixture of diet dog food and regular dog food together. So she'd lose a little weight. We expected her to lose weight, so which she did, but I didn't expect it to be,
that's dramatic, yeah.
She couldn't even jump up on the bed because she was so heavy. So okay. We thought we were doing the right thing. The vet even told us she had to lose some weight. So we took a blood test. And she said she has a protein deficiency, and that might be the problem of her weight loss.
So let's see. So is she having other symptoms as well as anything like diarrhea? Is she vomiting?
No, that's exactly what the vet asked, and I was surprised she's not.
Did they describe what kind of proteins? Because when we talk about there's total protein and then there's albumin and globulin, when we interpret those, it's important to know what types of proteins are abnormal.
Oh, no, she didn't tell us.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about proteins. So I doubt that we could call what she has a protein deficiency. She has hypoproteinemia, which means she has low levels of proteins in her blood. So the thing we have to really look at is what's causing that. And there are a whole big categories of reasons why a dog or cat's protein levels will be low in their body. We may have problems with, say, kidney disease, where we lose protein in the urine. We can have problems with liver disease where they don't produce enough protein. There can be intestinal disorders where they leak protein into their intestinal tract, or even problems like Addison's disease, which is a hormone type problem. So those are some of the kind of big categories. The thing that I would be really curious to know on your dog's particular situation is if those albumin and globulin, the two categories of protein, if they're both low. If they are both low and she's been losing weight, then that really kind of scooches me into that one category of intestinal disease. So even though a pet doesn't have vomiting, doesn't have diarrhea, and may or may not even have weight loss, there could still be significant intestinal disease going on that we could be leaking proteins into the intestinal tract. The fact that your dog is dropping a lot of weight, yeah, I'd say that's a definite a big indicator to me that there may be something going on there. So the quick answer is this needs more investigation. So there's not necessarily a single diet that's going to be appropriate to treat that. But there are a whole category of what we call protein losing enteropathies that do benefit from low fat diets. And what that does is it basically helps the body to retain protein in the intestinal tract. So instead of leaking that out, they can retain their own proteins. But there's other causes of, why they would leak protein besides what we call PLE, or protein losing enteropathy. So there can be other secondary problems. So cancer can still be on the table here. So we do have to kind of consider that. Inflammatory bowel disease can cause some secondary protein losing issues in the intestinal tract as well. So that's why I say, you need to have this followed up a little bit further with some other types of testing, whether that's endoscopy with biopsies, or there's some fecal tests that we can do to test for some different enzymes. you know, in the short term, you know, I don't know that in 2 weeks a diet change is necessarily going to fix things. But if you were looking at making strategies, I would look at low-fat diets. Either there's great veterinary prescription diets for that purpose, or kind of what we call the white diets, which are white meat and like white rice, or cottage cheese and white rice. Those tend to be very low in fat and still good digestibility.
Yeah, right now she's just on, we moved her from the, obviously, the diet food. We took her off that, and we put her on Little Caesar, like the chunky food.
Okay, well, that's
but maybe that's not good.
Not one of my favorites if we're talking about low fat and needing things that are going to be healthy for the gut. But I will tell you that a lot of intestinal problems, these protein-losing enteropathies, are actually some of the low-fat foods tend to be high in fiber, and that actually can be the wrong strategy for pets that have absorptive problems, because the fiber actually can interfere with the body's ability to maintain their own protein levels.
What should you be looking for?
Well, I would be looking for a fat content below 20%. So most of the commercial foods are really between 20 and 30% fat on an energy basis, so we'd try to go under 20%.
Should I just make her chicken and rice?
You know, you could, but actually, believe it or not, turkey is a lower fat meat than chicken. So it actually would be my preference.
Turkey and white rice, and that is better than what I'm feeding her now.
Yeah, definitely better than the Caesar right now. So, but any diet change you do, you got to do slow. Don't go switching things overnight on her. But I sure hope that you guys can get to the bottom of that, because that kind of weight loss is so dramatic. That is not the normal weight loss. My best wishes to you and your little one.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now at 1-866-405-8405.
Stella and Chewy's believes that selecting the best food is one of the most important decisions an owner can make for their pet. We believe that pets thrive when they're fed the same diet they'd get in the wild. Dogs and cats are carnivores, and meal mixers are a quick and convenient way to mix a little raw nutrition and great taste into their diet. Made from premium raw ingredients like grass-fed meat and cage-free poultry with organic fruits and vegetables, meal mixers help kickstart your kibble. Learn more at StellaandChewy's.com.
You know, like a lot of you, I used to struggle to get to sleep. Of course, that was before I met Mike Lindell and was fit for MyPillow. I've never slept so well or felt so rested. That's because MyPillow is fit to you, the kind of sleeper you are. You know, if you're a back sleeper or a side sleeper, or how big or small you are. MyPillow is the pillow with the perfect fit. Then at night, I move the patented MyPillow fill just to the right place for me. You know, to support my head and to cradle me like, well, you know. Let me tell you, a good night's sleep is a life changer. My pillow doesn't go flat, it doesn't get hot, and I sleep like a baby. Now it's your turn. I have a very special offer for you. Buy one My Pillow, and we'll give you one for your partner free. Call 800-867-0058 and use the promo code AW for your free pillow. And start sleeping better right away. Call 800-867-0058 or go to MyPillow.com and be sure to use the promo code AW for two life-changing pillows for the price of one. Make the call.
This is Glenn Close on Animal Radio, urging you to spay or neuter your pet.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now at 1-866-405-8405.
Grab your animals, bring them around the radio. We have our animals here. We're very lucky, very blessed to have our animals in the studio and working with us. Except for today, Lori, it looks like you're all alone in there in the newsroom. What's up with that?
Quiet, isn't it?
It is quiet, more quiet than usual, I've noticed.
Yes.
Let's see. We're going to head to the phones in just a couple of minutes for your calls for Dr. Debbie and dog father Joey Villani. Also got this guy on, and you may have heard about this already. There's a lot of cannabis treats available now for your animals. These are made from derivatives of marijuana, and there's many brands on the market. There's this one guy. He's a doctor. I believe he's a doctor. Dr. Stephen Katz. We may have even spoken to him before.
I think we have.
He's behind a brand new cannabis treat. And I'll be real honest with you. I'm a little anxious about it, a little nervous about it. I'm not sure this
I thought all the research said that you're not supposed to give dogs cannabis.
That's exactly what I thought.
There's not enough research done for me yet to give my dog that.
Well, we're going to ask the doctor what he knows.
Okay.
And that's right around the corner in just a couple of minutes. What are you working on over there in the newsroom, Ms. Brooks?
Well, I found this incredible study that just came out, and a very reliable source, too. It was done at Arizona State University. And it is all about how the two words put together, pit bull, negatively impact dogs that are not even a so-called pit bull.
Yep.
It's phenomenal it's breed bias. We'll tell you about it. So if you ever, end up in a shelter and you're looking for a pet and you see one labeled as a pit bull, make sure you tell somebody, no, that's not right. And we'll give you the reasons.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? Big cities, major cities like Denver, Colorado, where you could go buy an ounce of pot and a firearm all in about 6 hours.
And they're so pet friendly.
Right. But you can't have a pit bull there.
You can't have a pit bull there. And that's breed discrimination. And, well, you'll tell us all about it in just a few minutes right here on Animal Radio. Stick around for that. Oh, I wanted to mention that if you can't get through or you're not near a phone, you can download the Animal Radio app and ask your questions directly from the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. Thanks to those folks over at Drs. Foster's and Smith.
Animal Radio is underwritten in part by Viagen Pets, the leading provider of animal genetic preservation and cloning services. Preserve the genes of your dog or cat to extend the special bond you share with them. Learn more at www.viagenpets.com. That's viagenpets.com.
For over a decade, Viagen has been the leading provider of genetic preservation and cloning services of prized livestock with thousands of satisfied clients. Now announcing Viagen Pets, providing genetic preservation and cloning services to pet parents. Consider preserving the genes of your pet to extend the special bond you share with them. Get your free information kit and special offer for Animal Radio listeners at www.viagenpets.com. That's viagenpets.com.
No matter what kind of allergy day you're having, relief can be yours with Nasacort Allergy 24-Hour. Its prescription-strength medicine effectively relieves your worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, for 24 hours. Nasacort has no harsh taste, is non-drowsy and non-addictive. Unlike Flonase, Nasacort is scent and alcohol-free. For effective nasal allergy relief, choose Nasacort. It's guaranteed relief or your money back. Details at Nasacort.com. Use as directed.
Remember when a small business needed a landline? Today, landlines are a thing of the past with Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. On the road, at the beach, or at home, Grasshopper helps you grow your business. Get all the features of a business phone system and the freedom of a cell phone with our iPhone and Android apps. Features include multiple extensions for your team, calls forwarded to your mobile phones, voicemails transcribed and emailed, and so much more. See how it works at grasshopper.com, the entrepreneur's phone system.
Ready to make a big statement? Vistaprint has the customizable signs and banners to say exactly what you want to say, as big as you want to say it, starting at just $9.99. Trade shows, grand openings, huge sales, and gala events, nothing's too big. Just go to Vistaprint.com to begin designing today. And if you need help or have questions, our design specialists will work with you to make sure you're 100% satisfied. To get this deal, go to Vistaprint.com before June 5th and enter promo code SIGNS. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code SIGNS.
GEICO applauds your inner park ranger.
Mother Nature appreciates the part of you that knows the difference between the red-bellied and the three-toed woodpecker. GEICO also has specialized agents who admire your gusto for the great outdoors. Agents who help with more than just car insurance. These GEICO agents can insure the RV that will take you and the whole family cross-country. The RV that makes National Forest synonymous with Happy Place. So what are you waiting for? 180 types of woodpeckers are ready to be identified.
GEICO for your RV. See how much you could save.